morning. Yes. Good morning. What day is it? Wednesday. It's not Wednesday, August 5th. It's Thursday, August 6th. Took a minute for my phone to update. 7:32 a.m. I think it's around 65. I forgot to check the thermometer when I left the house, and so the thing is taking forever to update. Well, according to this, it says 57, but that seems kind of chilly for the temperature that I'm feeling, so I don't know. I don't know how much storage. It's around 60 degrees. It's not real hot. It's not real cold. I worked up a sweat, even though there was out on the main drag, out on West 20th. There was quite a nice breeze blowing. But I'm chunking along here. Really? 7:33 this morning. So yeah, yesterday big day, 1,000, today's 1,001. Tomorrow I will have exceeded Scheherazade. Okay, so now we start the next 1,000 and keep moving. That's the thing about milestones, is that you go by them. And then you have to do something. Whether you stop or whether you keep going. I have to keep going. One thing seems pretty clear. Since I've been walking, since I've been a little more diligent about getting my butt out on the sidewalk in the morning and moving along, I've been running more. Yesterday was another 5K day. Seeker 1 is now 25,000 words. I've done 10K in the last 2 days. If I keep this up, I will have my 100,000. By the end of the month, I'll have 100,000 in another 15 days, I think. I think that's what the math works out to be. I need 75,000 more words to make 100,000. And the question is whether or not I'll have a story at that point, or will the story actually come together before that? I don't know. I haven't really gone through Libby Hawker's book, Take Off Your Pants, which is a really, really good book. And I really like the structure of it. What I like about it the most is that I can use as much or as little of it as I want. And the one-page character summaries of the character, the theme of the book, how the theme relates to the character, the surface goal, the inner goal, you know, and the idea that the conflict rises from the character having to reconcile the inner goal and the outer goal. And like, who's the antagonist, who's the ally? Knowing that, just deciding that in advance, doesn't strike me as being terribly formulaic, although there's a certain level of formula to it, and it pretty much stops the opportunity for the story to go in a way I don't expect. To take advantage of the story as it unfolds, to discover themes, to discover motifs even. So I'm happy. I thought about it a little bit. I know what Pip wants. I know what Ishmael. I know what Ishmael wants, and what Ishmael wants is meaning. Meaning is really what he's searching for. He's really searching for meaning. It's like, okay, I've made it enough credits that I don't have to work another day in my life. Ooh. What do I do? How does this work? What do I do? So it's cool. It's fun. I think there are people who get to points in their lives. I know I have a couple of times where you set a goal and you make it. Well, then what? Then what? I haven't made enough money that I don't have to work for the rest of my life, but even if I had, I wouldn't want to. I want to keep telling stories. I want to keep writing. I want to keep recording. I want to... it's not so much that I want to leave a legacy. It's just that I want to tell these stories. I want to be an author. And I think I am. And I keep getting better. I hope, I think. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. So anyway, that idea that he wants to find meaning. And he doesn't understand yet that he wants to find meaning. It's one of the things. He doesn't quite grasp what's happening. Because he's never really been there. His whole entire life, there's always been something that he needs to accomplish, something that he needs to do. And in a lot of cases, it's based on a very low-level sort of, I need to survive. Pip, on the other hand, has a slightly different goal. Pip wants to be the cargo genius. And whether he'll make it or not, I don't know. He's well on the road. His economic models are helping change the industry already, and he still has a couple pieces that haven't fallen into place yet. So he's trying to figure out how that all works. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, because I don't have the mass to deal with it, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he'll find something he'd rather do. Which is also a valid thing. I'm walking. It's a little bit warm. I'm a little bit late this morning. I woke up late. I woke up at like 6:30. And I can't seem to get my head moving. I had a half a cup of coffee before I hit the road, but man, I woke up with my eyes stuck together and my head saying, no, go back to sleep. I said, no, 5,000 words, maybe 10,000 today. The story perked right along yesterday. I had my 5,000 words much earlier in the evening, and that's with taking some time out to respond to some lunacy on Google+. It's astonishing that to the degree to which people will warp their understanding based on preconceived notions that, of course, must be true, which, now that I think of it, is one of the things that Tsufu Numar told Ishmael yesterday in our goings-on. But, there seems to be a perception that what you need to do as an author is to create a presence that people will find, will discover, and because they discover your presence online, they will gravitate to your work. And you know, that's not how I really don't think that's how it works. Logically, I don't think that's how it works. It's not the only thing, and it, you know, it's, but discovery, and you know, I keep writing about it, I keep talking about it. Nobody seems to want to believe it, because they keep wanting to think that there's a magic bullet, a formula, a thing you have to do. And most of the stuff that people do to quote market unquote their books is, you know, it's something to do. It makes you feel good, but on the grand scheme of things, I don't think it matters. And I have reasons for thinking that. A lot of it has to do with the reality of the channel, of the relationship between and among people on a particular social media channel. Also has to do with the way people buy books. People don't buy books on Google. They don't go into Google and say, show me a good science fiction novel. And those who do get mainstream press books, they don't get indie books, they don't get my books. That's fine. Because the huge footprint that the commercial properties, the mainstream properties have is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Between the movies and the video games and the publishers and the magazines and the whole thing, there's just too much for that to be effective. And then there's the reality of how people shop, which is, I need a new book for my Kindle, log on to Amazon, check out the recommendations. I heard about this good book from this guy, so I'm going to look for his name. Oh, look, there's this book. Oh, that sounds dreadful. I'm not going to buy it. Monk post. That does look interesting. Let me grab a sample. So there's this whole dynamic of, you know, having a web presence is only important to gather people who already have heard about you and want to know more. That's all it's for. As a fiction author, as a non-fiction author, I've talked about this so many times. So the preconceived notion was that since I have a rather large fan base, that I must have created hooks for people to engage with me in order for me to have grown my audience. And the answer is, not really in the way that you're conceiving of creating a community for readers so that they will find out about you. No. Creating a website that has on-target content. You know, I understand it. I might have... If I hadn't come up through Patio Books, I might have the same idea. If I hadn't done my PhD on factors contributing to distance, I might have the same idea. But there's a reality. In Patio Books, if you want to get noticed in Patio Books, what you have to do is you have to do something that people can notice. And that's not a book. That's not a book. What people noticed was, a few of them noticed the book, and they thought, well, okay, that's fine. And a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people loved it. It was 4-1, 5-1, people who loved it over people who hated it. So I figured I was on the right path. There were very few people who were indifferent. So I figured that was good. So I wrote another one. And putting four books into the Patio Books ecosystem in 1 year was remarkable enough that people responded. Even those who didn't like South Coast, even those who didn't like Half Share, they responded. So even though it took me a long time to get the next book, and a long time to get the next book, and a long time to get the next book, and I switched over to do Tanith Fairport, and even though there have been all these delays, people still engage. People still discover the books. People still are finding Quarter Share for the first time. Lots of people every day are finding Quarter Share for the first time. Not on Amazon necessarily, although a lot of people are finding it there. But on iTunes, even on Patio Books, which is having a little bit of a resurgence in terms of visibility lately. But this idea that I must have created on-target content. Well, I did create on-target content, but the reality is that the on-target content that I created was more stories. What y'all as fans want from me is not necessarily this jibber-jabber. What you want is more stories. And in a way, I'm telling you stories. I'm telling you stories about me rather than about Ishmael Huang. But it's not taking away from anything else. It's not taking away from my writing time. It's not taking away from my workout time. It's not taking away from my other sorts of authorly duties. It's layered in so that I can tell you these stories in the morning and not have them interfere with. In fact, they sort of enhance my ability to tell the other kinds of stories later in the day. One of the ways I described this podcast is morning pages for my life. So when I come in here and I talk about whatever it is, today I'm talking about this sort of misconception that I must have had this huge media empire online before I, in order to attain the lofty pinnacle of success that I've got, is it? Yeah, that's not really how it works. And while I appreciate that I am a sample point of one, and that I have to be careful not to generalize onto a larger population because of my experience, the reality is, people like Scott Sigler, people like Murray Lafferty, they have grown their audiences because they have provided content. Now, in Murray's case, she spent a lot of time fostering her relationships with other writers, which is not a bad thing. She used that as kind of her little springboard, her little goad to keep her moving. Sigler has his web presence, but what people don't come to his forums because he has a forum. They go to his forums to talk with other fans about the work, about his books, about his stories. We talk about it because he's outrageous, but we wouldn't even care if he didn't have the books, if his various personae were not linked to his ability to create meaningful characters in his works. So, yeah, I mean, I've seen it happen over and over and over. J.C. Hutchins built a following and then let it fall because he stopped creating new works. And when he started creating new works again, he sort of abandoned his old audience because he had to, because of the contract that he worked so hard to get, which left him stranded. So, I mean, yeah, I appreciate that I'm a sample point of one, but I'm looking around at the ecostructure, and I'm looking at what are the characteristics that the successful authors have that the also-rans don't. And every case, I can't think of a single instance where somebody with one book went to the top and stayed on the top, or went, you know, a long way up the mountain and then stayed there. There are a lot of people who've had a book and have gone up and have gone, woo-hoo, and then fallen off. About the only person I can think of who's gone up with one book and stayed there is Hugh Howey. And basically, he wrote one book. I'm not even going to get into it because it didn't work for me. It does work for a lot of people. It works for a lot of my fans. So, rock on. But that's, you know, he's an outlier in more than one way. So I have to be a little bit careful. But there is a reality to social engagement. There is a reality to the mechanisms, the psychological mechanisms, the social mechanisms that work in social media that I'm not sure I really understand, but at least I have some grounding in, okay, what exactly is social presence? How exactly does it work? I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I know that factors contributing to social presence include things like fluency, include things like immediacy. They include ideas like engagement. And engagement is not, oh, I can click this and retweet it. That's not engagement. That's parroting. That's Polly want a cracker. It's not engagement. Liking isn't engagement. Friending isn't engagement. Friending isn't engagement. Friending is. And following is sorting and selecting. That's curating, which is a completely different subject, but one that's really important and woven into the fabric of social media. Anyway, well, that was, no, I'm back. What, hello? That was fast. I must have been really taken up with that subject because I'm already back and I wouldn't even realize it. It's good. It is good to be out of the sun. I'm standing in the shadow of the garage right now, and it's shade is good. It's probably going to be a hot one. At any rate, I am at the virtual back gate, but tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.